This is part two of Your Life is Their Toy, Merchants of Medicine by Emmanuel Josephson, M.D., from 1948. U.S. Senate exposes Simmons' quackery. It is an interesting commentary on the quote-unquote principles which guide medical politicians that, so long as quote-unquote Doc Simmons lived, his henchmen stood ready to defend him to the last ditch. Thus, during the investigation of the administration of the Federal Food and Drug Act by the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture and Forestry, during the 71st Congress in 1930, Olin West rose bravely to defend his chief, Simmons. This from the hearings, pages 292 to 295. From Senator Wheeler, quote, "I have just been handed by a gentleman over here, an article appearing in one of the state journals, How to Enlarge Your Practice, George H. Simmons, M.D., Editor Emeritus of Journal of AMA, reprinted from Lincoln, Nebraska State Journal, Ridge's Food, None Genuine Without Woolrich and Company on Label, G.H. Simmons, M.D. From Dr. West. "What is the date of that, Senator, may I ask?" From Senator Wheeler. "I could not say." Dr. West. "What has that to do with this particular matter?" Senator Wheeler. "I was just wondering if that was an advertisement that the council would approve of." Senator Copeland. "Is that the Dr. Simmons who was formerly editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association?" Dr. West, "I do not know who he is. I have not seen it." Senator Wheeler, "He says he was formerly editor of the AMA Journal and now is editor emeritus of the Journal." Senator Copeland, "This, I take it, was one of the indiscretions of his youth." Senator Wheeler, "I do not so understand." Dr. West, "Mr. Chairman, this is exactly in line with the maneuvers that have been carried on with regard to other matters. This is an advertisement which I think, I cannot tell you definitely, appeared probably 35 to 40 years ago, and perhaps considerably beyond that time, even long before Dr. G.H. Simmons had any connection whatever with the American Medical Association." Senator Wheeler, "He is the same man?" Dr. West, "I think he is." Senator Wheeler, "The same man who was the editor of the Journal of the AMA? Dr. West, "In later years." Senator Wheeler, "He is the same man who is now editor emeritus of the Journal of the AMA? Dr. West, "Yes, sir." Senator Wheeler, "It was put in here for the purpose of calling your attention to the fact that the man who was the head of the American Medical Association Journal, and who objects to all advertisements, was himself an advertising doctor. The point I am making here is that here is a man who was what you would call an advertising faker in connection with women's diseases, who afterwards became so rigid about advertisements going into the journal." Dr. West, "No, Senator, I do not say that." Senator Wheeler, "The medical profession generally calls these doctors who advertise that they are specialists on men's diseases and women's diseases advertising fakers, does it not? I am going to ask that be inserted in the record." Senator Copeland, "Both sides?" Senator Wheeler, "I have not seen the other side. Here is the other side of it, which had not been called to my attention. Lincoln Medical Institute and Water Cure, Turkish, Russian Vapor, Electric and Medicated Baths." Senator Copeland, "Senator, really, this has no bearing on the case, has it?" Senator Wheeler, except for the fact that the very man, I assume, who is now denouncing all these fake medical institutes and gonorrhea cures and so forth, was formerly in that very business himself, apparently. I am glad to know that he has reformed, however, according to the doctor. Senator Wheeler, you do not permit advertisements of the character of that of Dr. Simmons to appear in the medical journal, do you? Dr. West, no, we do not permit any such advertisement. And if any advertisement were to advertise in that manner today, we would oppose it, and expose it, and condemn it. Senator Wheeler, you would not permit him, as a matter of fact, to belong to the Medical Association, would you? Dr. West, no, sir. Senator Wheeler, that is correct, is it? Dr. West, yes, sir. A man who would advertise in that manner today would have his charges preferred against him. Senator Wheeler, and he would be thrown out of the Medical Association. Unquote. Fishbein's tribute to quote-unquote Father Simmons. While Simmons was alive, Dr. Morris Fishbein understudied him. During this time, Fishbein was in the habit of telling friends, quote, Simmons has treated me like a father, unquote. Within a few months after Simmons had died, in January 1938, I had occasion to question Fishbein from the floor at a meeting of the New York County Medical Society. Quote, is it not true, unquote, I asked Fishbein, quote, that the leadership of the medical profession has been corrupt, dishonest, and incompetent? Unquote. Replying in the affirmative, Fishbein showed an admirable mixture of heartfelt gratitude and respect for the dead. Quote, unquote, Doc Simmons, he said, was hardly the type of man to lead the medical profession. But, he said, the character of Simmons' rivals for control of the AMA, Dr. G. Frank Lidston and other aspirants, were, in his estimate, of lower caliber than Simmons. Sic transit gloria mundi. New York Times headlines Simmons. An eloquent commentary on the perverted power of the AMA is the obituary on Simmons in the September 2nd, 1937 issue of the New York Times. Under the headline, Noted for War on Quacks. It published a highly laudatory obituary on Simmons, the Prince of Quacks. Editing or suppression of well-known information by the Times is not surprising, for its recognized policy is to publish only the news that can be, quote-unquote, made fit to print, unquote. The surprising feature that demonstrated the ascendancy of the AMA was the abandonment of an attitude of bitter antagonism which, since it has become subservient to organized social service, the Times has assumed toward the association's personnel when such an excellent opportunity for wholesome exposure presented itself. AMA subsidiaries and agents. The maintenance of power in the nationwide medical organization depends upon alliances with subsidiaries and satellites. In every community, local merchants in medicine, whose specialty is politics, serve as allies and agents. Their reward is power. Undeserved reputations, which they gain from their control of medical licensure and education. Large practices secured through a monopoly of medical institutions and the advertising which they yield, and incomes that are dependent on the privilege of preying on the public, which the monopoly of the institutions gives them. They are limited solely by their greed and the capacity of the public to suffer and pay. The agencies through which they operate are the subsidiary county and state medical societies. From among their bosses, there are chosen each year the figurehead presidents, officers, and dummy directors of the AMA. In return for a free rein in their local territories, they do not, quote-unquote, horn in on the enterprises and boodle of the national organization bosses for whom they act as stuffed shirt fronts. Simmons made the position of his group impregnable. They own the AMA and dictate its activities. The subsidiary state societies, such as those of Illinois and New Jersey, have attempted to revolt repeatedly, but have been whipped back into line. Medical leaders fear racketing overlords. To what extent the local medical powers are intimidated and fearful of those overlords of the medical rackets is made apparent by the following letter to me from a prominent physician. Quote, "I have been in practice here since 1896, and I now feel very much the hypocrite because I have ridden on the bandwagon of organized medicine ever since the present American Medical Association was set up. I have been twice the president of the local organization and for several years one of the counselors of this state's medical association. I expect to keep on writing there, even though I know the racketeering conditions existing in the organization. I knew Dr. George H. Simmons, now deceased, president emeritus and dictator extraordinaire of the American Medical Association, when he was a homeopathic quack out in Lincoln, Nebraska, and using billboards for advertising, shades of Munyon and Brinkley. Either one of them was far more ethical than was George H. Simmons. Furthermore, I know just how he got his diploma as a regular physician, but I am not going to stick my neck out enough to tell it to someone in writing. I also know all about the specialists with certificate rackets now being practiced. I also knew Franklin Martin's FACS racket at its inception at the American Congress of Surgery, Obstetrics, and Gynecology. I also know all about Frank Smith's FACP racket. I also know all about Willis Andrews families and many N.S. Davis families and their relationship to the past and present organization of medicine. I am just writing you these things to let you know why I cannot assist you in writing up the history of medicine in this section of the country. I want you to know that I do not hate any of these men, past or present, including Morris Fishbein, the present Hitler of medicine, and Olin West, the Goring of medicine. In fact, I have to admit to you my association with them has been happy and pleasant. But having grown up in the old spirit of ethical medicine, it rankles me to know what is going on and that I can do nothing about it. I wonder if you saw the play The Servant is in the House many years ago. If so, you will recall the character of the drain man who found all of the filth of the Church of England in the drains and sewer beneath the church and the rectory. That is what I know about our organization from its inception to the present day. Now can you wonder that I feel that I am a hypocrite for riding on the bandwagon of such an organization when I know what is beneath." Unquote. President of AMA confesses he is dummy and figurehead. How completely Olin West and Fishbine and their ring own and control the AMA, and how little voice the rank-and-file members and their elected officers have, is aptly illustrated by the following affidavit filed by Dr. Nathan B. Van Etten, president of the AMA. In the District Court of the United States for the Southern District of New York, J. Thompson Stevens, M.D., plaintiff, against Morris Fishbine, M.D., and the American Medical Association defendants. Affidavit of Nathan B. Van Etten, State of New York, County of Bronx. Nathan B. Van Etten, being duly sworn, deposes and says, I am a practicing physician duly licensed in the state of New York and have been practicing as a physician since March 10, 1890. I reside at 120 West 183rd Street, New York City, and maintain an office for the practice of my profession at 300 East Tremont Avenue, New York City. I have been a member of the American Medical Association for some 40 years, and at the annual meeting of the American Medical Association held in June 1939, I was elected president of the American Medical Association and took office as president on June 11, 1940. On June 12, 1940, while attending the annual meeting of the American Medical Association at the Hotel Waldorf Astoria, 50th Street and Park Avenue, New York City, copies of a summons and complaint in the above-entitled action were given to me, and I am informed that these were given to me as purported service of process on the American Medical Association. This affidavit is submitted by me in support of a motion by the American Medical Association to set aside and vacate the purported service of process herein. My sole office in the American Medical Association is as president. I have no executive or administrative duties in connection with that office, the office being primarily an honorary one, and my chief function as president of the association being to deliver talks in various parts of the country to various medical bodies and to acquaint physicians and the public generally with the functions and purposes of the American Medical Association and with subjects of special interest to the medical profession and the public generally. The chief executive officer of the American Medical Association is the secretary and general manager, who is, at the present time, Olin West. His office is at 535 North Dearborn Street, Chicago, Illinois. I transact no business of any kind for the American Medical Association in the state of New York. My office at 300 East Tremont Avenue is not an office of the American Medical Association, but merely an office which has been maintained by me for some years for the sole purpose of the practice of my profession. I have never been given any authority to act for the American Medical Association in New York, to transact business for it in the state of New York, nor to enter into any negotiations, contracts, or agreements on its behalf, nor am I authorized to accept the payment of any monies on behalf of the American Medical Association, or conduct business of any nature for it in the state of New York, nor do I perform any such functions. Nathan B. Van Etten, M.D., sworn to before me this 29th day of June, 1940, Notary Public, Bronx County, Clerks Number 197, Registers Number 235M41, Commission expires March 30th, 1941. Bessie R. McInerney, Notary Public. Medical bosses prey on rank and file. Increasingly, it has become the practice of the local medical bosses to fill their purses from the treasuries of their organizations. An unsuccessful attempt of this type was made in the New York County Medical Society in January 1940. The old guard representing organized medicine, including doctors Charles Gordon Hayde, Alfred M. Hellman, Clarence Bandler, and Samuel J. Kopetsky, have been fighting a losing battle on the cohorts of the social service racket and their radical and communist allies, led by Drs. Ernest Boaz, Henry B. Richardson, Carl Binger, and Giles W. Thomas, for the control of the society and its funds. Since the society is ruled by its secretary, the old guard undertook to assure its control by giving its henchman, Dr. B. Wallace Hamilton, secretary, a 5-year contract at double his past salary, or $12,000 a year. Their opponents, who seek full control of the society and its treasury for their masters and themselves, fought this maneuver with the aid of cooperating newspapers and forced a cancellation of the contract. The members of the society are prepared to see the quote-unquote crusading social service and radical cohorts drain its treasury for salaries for their henchmen and utilize it for agitation for socialized medicine and for an intensified campaign of vilification and betrayal of the profession. They have already urged upon Mayor LaGuardia that physicians be denied the protection of civil service, security of tenure, and an adequate wage that are accorded to all other workers in public employ. This they have done through the, quote, coordinating committee, unquote, of the 5 county medical societies of New York City. Thus does organized medicine, quote-unquote, protect its members in much the same fashion as the racketeer protects industry, or Germany protects Norway. AMA racketeering is supported by government agencies. Though the Department of Justice has filed an indictment against the American Medical Association and its racketeering bosses, almost every other branch of the federal and state governments that acts in the domain of medicine is completely dominated by the association. Most recent and striking of these illegal delegations of governmental power to a private agency is the granting to the American Medical Association of virtual control of the medical aspects of military conscription. The past record of the AMA makes it quite clear that the power delegated to it by the government will not be used for the promotion of national defense, but will be used to mend the political fences of the association and to destroy its enemies, especially all physicians and manufacturers who do not bow to its dictates. In 1917, for instance, the AMA barred from military service the distinguished physician and surgeon, Professor G. Frank Lydston, of the College of Physicians and Surgeons, by means of records that were later acknowledged to be false, because of his attacks on corruption in the AMA. This is further made clear by the decree ordered by the American Medical Association that no physician who has graduated from any school that is not approved by it, no matter how competent or experienced he may be, may receive a commission or serve as a physician, and that any such physicians who may be drafted must serve as ordinary privates, in spite of the announced shortage of physicians in the service. The same ruling has been decreed, extended by the AMA to graduates of foreign medical schools of the highest rating. More will be related presently concerning the government support of the racketeering of the bosses of the AMA and their fellow merchants in medicine. This concludes part two, as well as chapter one, of Your Life is Their Toy, Merchants of Medicine, by Emanuel Josephson, M.D., from 1948.